A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ child was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, aren't by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed from their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. The Epiphany is our feast today, this part of our Christmas celebrations that begin with the birth of Jesus, and we know that the shepherds came, the angels came, and eventually the wise men approached Bethlehem following a star. I think part of our human experience, all of us, if you've lived a few years, have at some point in your life hopefully experienced or said the following. In a moment where life is just beautiful, maybe you're sitting on a beach watching a sunset, and you just say to yourself, "I wish time could stop and this moment would last forever." I think we've all probably had a moment like that. Maybe this Christmas as you're gathered with a family, maybe some of our parents here whose kids have gone off to college and have their own lives, they've come home and you're around the Christmas table and everyone's just enjoying each other's company, and you sort of step back for a moment and you're just sort of watching it all happen and you say to yourself, "This is so beautiful, I wish time could just stop." Well, that part of our heart that wants time to stop also reveals that in our hearts we all want heaven, which by definition is when time stops and joy just continues forever. We all want those, we all desire those moments. And I think if you think about an epiphany, what these three kings witnessed at the end of their journey was to look upon the face of God in the form of the Christ child, and they saw a glimpse, they had a glimpse of heaven. Anytime we have those little epiphanies of our lives, I think it's a little sign from God. Now, we're talking about the wise men today, and we have the three kings, which are also the wise men, and there's a lot of history behind this feast day, which I'd like to just sort of bring up today. You see, Matthew's gospel is the one Luke tells us about much more about the infancy story, but Matthew adds something that Luke doesn't. He adds the story of the three wise men, or the wise men that come. And there's a lot of, you could say, theological debate about who they were and where they came from and why it happened. And even the early church fathers, some of them say, well, they were certainly from Persia, because in the time of Jesus, Persia was known for its great wisdom, and you would have found, you could say, wise men or counselors that would have probably understood some of the Jewish scriptures. Remember, the Jewish people had been conquered and sent off to exile so many times that most of the people at the time of Jesus knew of the Jewish people and knew some of the Jewish prophecies. Others say that the wise men came not from Persia, but from Babylon, because that's directly east. And they say they came from the east, right? Most likely, it's all up for debate here, but I believe a lot of theologians say they came more from Arabia. And that's because Matthew, when he wrote his gospel, was realizing through the Holy Spirit that there was a prophecy in Isaiah that said that gold and frankincense from Arabia, from Sheba, would be brought to Jerusalem to worship the king. And that's why we read from Isaiah in the first reading. In the psalm, we sang about the kings that would come from Arabia and Sheba and would bow before and do homage to the Messiah. And so since we have those readings today and we sort of are interpreting the Old Testament in that light, most likely we can say they came from Arabia. But there's something about the three, or the wise men, I keep saying three, but we don't really know how many they are, right? Three comes from the gifts. They gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So three gift givers gave the three gifts, but that's not really necessarily accurate to say they were only three. But the wise men, they come to Herod and they say, "We saw his star at its rising." And these wise men in ancient wisdom would have understood that certain, you could say, phenomenon you could see in the sky was a foreshadowing or a sign that something big was happening on earth. In fact, they often would say that a powerful person on earth would have their own star. And so maybe there was a constellation of stars. Something happened in the sky that was new that made them realize something big was happening. So they saw his star rising in the east, and then they headed west. Maybe they weren't really following the star, but they took the star as the reason that they should make the journey to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, where the Jewish scriptures and prophecies said the Messiah would be born. Well, they get to Herod, and they say something powerful. You see, they say to Herod, they say in Greek, "Edomen kai helthomen." You know how much I love Greek, right? The Elomen kai helthomen, and that means we saw and we came. We saw and we came. And they were overjoyed. Herod hears that and he's worried and anxious because they say there's this newborn king, this child that is born king. Herod had made himself the king. There was a rival king that had more rights to be king than Herod did, so he wanted to destroy this child. And his attitude is completely different, where the wise men receive this epiphany and they're joyful and they're coming to worship Herod in his own pathetic little fiefdom, wants to hold on to his pathetic life and doesn't want anything to change. And so he receives the good news but rejects it. The kings come eventually. Maybe they were following now an angel that was like a star, something that brought them right to Bethlehem. And they come in, and the beauty of what imagery is that these kings of the earth are now worshiping the King of Kings, and they kneel before him. It's also a symbol of heaven. In the book of Revelation, it says that the saints before the throne of the Lamb will cast down their golden crowns in homage to the King of Kings. This, you could say, spiritual journey of the wise men that ended in adoration. Like, they were scientific, they were philosophers, they were men who had this life goal, which wasn't to conquer or gain power, it was to simply worship God in adoration. And that's why today it's a beautiful, you could say, reason to celebrate Jesus has been revealed. That's what Epiphany means. It's a revelation or an appearance. He's revealed himself to the whole world, symbolized by these pagan kings that come from the East. And he said, "Here I am." Every Catholic Mass is another Epiphany. If you think about the bread of life, that, you know, the Christ child probably didn't seem like much, just a little child, but there was the King of Kings. The bread on the altar doesn't seem like much, but there we have sacramentally the presence of the King of Kings. Hopefully in our lives, when we go back home today, we continue our Christmas celebrations and we're gathered in family, when you have those moments when you just want time to stop, right? That you can also give thanks to God for those blessings. And that in your life and in my life, we'll be able to say, when we stand before the throne of God and we take off our golden crown, we all have one because of our baptism, we'll be able to say to our Lord, "I saw and I came and I worshiped." That's the most beautiful thing a human being can do. And that's the only thing that will truly fill our hearts. So today, my brothers and sisters, let us give thanks for the many little epiphanies of our lives. Every morning that you just say, "I love you," to a family member, right? That's an epiphany, a beautiful moment to realize how powerful our Christian life is. Let us give thanks for those. And today, as we kneel before the King of Kings in adoration, let us open our hearts to give him our own gifts of our own faith, our own adoration and praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.